more happening in your local area, go to phoenixfm.com and click on Events Guide.
Now, my guest coming up is Mark Reed.
Yeah, well, it could be.
Because we've got Mark P. Reed, who is the head of the Brentworth Theatre.
Really?
That's why I have to sort of make the distinction.
Yes, definitely, yeah.
And you've got no involvement in any theatre whatsoever?
Not that I'm aware of, no.
No.
No, no. I've been to a few, but no, yes. No involvement.
And
now
you are a singer-songwriter. You're from Essex.
London, East London originally, but I live in Basildon, yeah.
Okay. Whereabouts in London were you?
Plaistow.
Plaistow, you mean?
No, Plaistow.
I call it Plaistow. Yeah. I think people there sometimes call it Plaistow now.
I think it depends upon whether you're actually sort of local.
Yeah.
It was always called Plaistow, but it's spelt Plaistow. That always used to confuse me as a kid, but no.
Up and coming, you wouldn't be able to buy a property up there now. Four, about a couple of million, aren't they?
I haven't got a clue.
Yeah.
The last one I lived in has probably been flattened by now.
Oh, well, you should have kept up. It's all right to say that, isn't it? But all these areas up by Isle of, up by the Isle of Dogs, they've all gone through the roof.
Yeah.
You look back and you go, if honey and I bought something at the time.
Well, I know people that have, or friends that have still got family that live up there, but none of my family actually live there now. They've all moved out or moved on.
Yeah.
Funny enough, they've all moved up to Norfolk or the Yarmouth area and stuff like that. And we did that when I was a kid. We moved up to King's Lynn. Did my schooling up there and then we came back down again to be with relatives. And they've all moved up there. What does that tell you?
Don't be so cruel. We're going to be chatting to Mark, and Mark's actually going to be playing a track live. But here is a track, I Found a Lover. Tell us about this track we're about to play.
Basically, it was an attempt at writing a sort of semi-commercial rock track, really. I was asked by a sort of mutual friend of ours to produce some songs for a project that he was interested in. And they were kind of like very, very dark. The album's called Shadow of the Sun. And this was sort of like a part of three or four songs I had to work in with it. So basically, I recorded it and added it in. So that was it, really.
Here we go. This is Mark Reed, I Found a Lover. I Found a Lover, and it's by Mark Reed, who is my guest in the studio. Very Who-is. Who, I said. Who. It's like the Who.
I'm flattered.
Yeah. Flattened.
Flattered. Comparison with the Who. Roger Daltrey is a singer. Funny that, yeah. Okay, I'll go with that.
And that is all you. That's the drums, the bass, the whole lot is all you.
I wrote the song. I record everything on it, all the guitars. The drums I actually sequence. And then I produce it and I put the albums out myself, yeah.
So you've been playing guitar. How old were you when you picked up the guitar?
I bought my first one when I was 10.
Yeah.
And I went through sort of like teenage years pretending to be a rock star. Taught myself to play all the Led Zeppelin stuff and bits and pieces like that. But then when I was sort of early 20s, it sort of stopped.
Yeah.
And I really didn't get back into playing music until my late sort of 20s, early 30s.
Yeah.
It was probably a period of about 5 years where I didn't pick up a guitar at all. I taught myself to play classical, and that was really about the sum total of it.
Yeah.
And then it sort of developed where I was going out doing some folk club gigs and then playing bass with a blues band, and then the work that I was doing sort of fell apart because I was actually sort of, my career was estate agency and finance. And during the late 80s, obviously, there was quite a lot of that going on. And then when the bubble burst, I was made redundant and really didn't have any sort of idea of what to do. So I started sort of chatting to people, going down to clubs, and I got involved in playing live. And for the next sort of like 10, 15 years, I was just sort of constantly sort of gigging in various formats, duos, bands, and stuff like that. And during that time, I was actually writing. I stopped doing live gigs with bands for a period of about 5 years, I think. And during that time, there was a lot of personal issues going on with people being ill and stuff like that. And I was sort of like caring for, to sort of fill my downtime. I started really recording and really producing a lot of songs that I actually had sitting around. Mm. I'd always had an ambition to say, I don't know, record an album. Yeah, yeah, everyone wants to do it. But to go in to do a to go in and do it in a studio was just too expensive. So I've more or less taught myself how to do it.
Yeah.
And I use various kind of techniques. I record directly through into a computer through recording software. I use a drum. I use a drum sort of sequencing machine or actual drum machines itself. And I'll record over the drum machines. And then what I'll do is I'll cut the drum track up, edit it to add some little bits and pieces and all that stuff, which can take hours. I sort of got to the point where I thought, well, I've got to put this stuff out, so I put it out on iTunes or via my own website.
See, this is the point with you.
Yeah.
Because a lot of singers come in, but you really push. You go, I've got a product, and a lot of musicians go, well, I've got a product, and then they don't do anything with it. Nobody knows that they sing because they can record in their bedroom, but nobody hears it.
Yeah.
But you actually go out there. You've got publishing on your stuff. You've been getting royalties on your stuff.
Yeah, yeah. And that was purely by accident from a friend who sort of, he said he's published an album and he's got it up on iTunes, I believe it was. And I thought, well, if he can do it, I can do it. All I've got to do is find out the way to do it.
Yeah.
And really, that's all it is. And I think now I've got 8 albums on iTunes,
yeah,
and there are currently 11 available on my website alone. The problem with it is, I mean, a lot of people think, wow, royalties, musician, you know, you're earning the...
You just flew in here, didn't even drive in. It was a helicopter dropped you off outside.
Yeah, the helicopter's parked outside, yeah. Oh, Parker's out there, yeah. Yes, yes, my lord. Yeah. Somewhere, I don't think so. No, there has to be an element of realism in that you think because you've got music out there and you get airplay and you're earning royalties, there are so many people out there doing it. And
yeah,
what I quickly, and I do mean very quickly, found out is you do not earn as much as you think you're going to earn. It is hard graft, and you've got to be prepared to sort of accept that you're not going to get massive results straight away. If things start working for you, that's absolutely brilliant. I mean, I don't regard myself in any sense as being a singer. It's something I had to learn.
Well,
to
that's what you're here today for. What are you doing in this interview?
In the sense of like you're the singer, I basically do it under sufferance because I've got these songs and no one else wants to sing them.
He's really building himself up well today, isn't he? Under sufferance.
It's what you call under promotion. Yeah. No, it's not even the case of that. It's my skill is a guitar player. That is where my strength actually lies. To me, I don't believe I have the kind of people hear their own voices, and what you hear is not or what you hear coming back at you is not what you actually hear in your own ears because of the way we interpret things. And when I first heard my voice, I thought, "Is that me? Don't sound like me." So you get that kind of image of what it sounds like, and after a while, it's just a case of do it, get on with it. You're doing the best job you can, and if you can add some things, and you know, you got to give it a try.
Now he's looking at me now, all worried. Now
no,
the
I'm
next
not.
Track we're going to play is Locomotive.
Locomotive Swing.
Swing. There we go. Locomotive Swing. Tell us about this.
It's basically a jazz guitar piece. What I was doing was I was playing around with some gypsy jazz kind of stuff. This was for an album of jazz guitar instrumentals called She Has the Jazz, and I wanted just try explore various aspects of jazz because I wasn't really into jazz at the time, but I thought the best way to find out about it is by doing it.
Yeah.
And basically I was playing around with a chord sequence, and I had a drum pattern which went underneath, because with normal gypsy guitar music you don't have percussion. What you have is two guitars and they play in a very sort of very kind of, like, I think they call it their pump or whatever it is, and it is like a pump. It just
goes,
and it's like a heartbeat, and the soloists sort of go over the top. But I couldn't do that, so I put a drum pad underneath it. And then when I heard what I had back, it kind of, the train thing kind of gelled, you know, and that's really where it came about. So
here we go. This is Locomotive
Swing. Swing.
That ended very suddenly. That is Mark Reed, a singer-songwriter. Now, that was a track called Locomotive Swing. You started doing some writing. I haven't seen you for about 2.5 years. Mm. Don't fold your arms, you look very aggressive. But I haven't seen you for about 2.5 years. As I said, you really are somebody that's a go-getter. You go, this is what's got to be done. Mm. That's a lot of the reason why musicians fail or they don't do things, because musicians normally are quite... I'd say airy fairy in the head, really, because they like doing their singing. But when it comes to doing anything else or planning websites, things that you can do on your own, but people kind of go, oh, well, no, I'll just write the songs. But that's no good. You have to knock on the doors to get your music out there. But you actually have been writing books as well.
Yes.
I don't even know you. How many books have you written?
5.
No way.
Yeah. They're not novels or anything like that. That's for clever people.
So what are the books about?
Basically, there are two on... what it is I've got a large photography collection.
Glad you said that. I was like, where is this conversation going?
I like to take pictures, lots of nature stuff and bits and pieces. And I have a lot of kind of... Basically, there was spare kind of lyrics. I recently started up a website called Dare You To, which is... to do with neurolinguistic programming or NLP, which is something I got into.
Yeah.
So I wanted something to kind of like support that. So I put up a kind of slideshow of quotations.
Just to say NLP, it's
neurolinguistic programming,
which is a tapping. Sometimes it's like a tapping technique for nerves.
There are lots of interpretations, but basically what it is a study of how we as individuals communicate with ourselves and the outside world.
Yeah.
And it was something that fascinated me and something I wanted to do, but. The sort of books evolved out of that because what they are is simply quotations, picture. So it's more or less kind of look at it reflection. So the first two were like that. The second one was basically about music in that I wrote a little booklet, a little instruction booklet or a little sort of exercise booklet on the cage system for guitar, which is basically where you've got 5 major chords in different places in various shapes and showing the various scales, the arpeggios and bits and pieces that work around that and what you can do with it basically.
Yeah.
I then wrote a book which was based from my estate agency time, which was more or less what they wanted while I was there was to create like an instruction manual for new people coming in, completely involving what the estate agency work did, from actually buying the house, going through to completion and all the rest of it. Well, I found the manuscript and I thought I'd have to republish that, but I redid it a lot shorter, and basically it's all about mortgage lending in the UK as it stands currently. So that's out there. And the final one I just recently finished was about the cycle of fifths for music, which is basically a music composition tool that you can use. When I did my classical music exams many, many moons ago, it was kind of something that you had to write out and actually use as a tool for the actual exams in its own right. If you wanted to find out a key, how many sharps or flats were in a key or whatever, you would use this tool. And the brilliant thing is I could find it loads and loads of pictures online, but it was remembering how to create it from scratch. So that was what I based the book around, and I just simply used a couple of major scales on the guitar as illustrations of the guitar neck and showed people how to do it, and that's simply where it came about. But yeah, funnily enough, I think in the God knows 5, 6 whatever it is years I've had music published, I've generated more in book returns than I have on music. So I'm definitely in the wrong profession.
Well, there you go. Now, you're going to play something live for us in the studio if you want to get yourself into position.
Yes.
That sounds like he's going to be doing some sort of strained position, but he's playing classical. Tell us about the track.
Basically, it's a flamenco guitar piece. Bit of summer coming on, so, you know, a bit of get rid of winter blues. It's a thing called Aralenthia. It's a tough track to play when you're cold.
Yeah, you better be good, otherwise I'm going to throw something at you. There we go. Now, in between, we're waiting for just Mark to get warmed up. I'm going to play some ads, and then when we come back, we're going to have some live music with Mark Reed. Thank you.
thank you very much.
Very good.
Yeah. It was very, very good. And that was called?
Aralenthia.
Aralenthia. We are going to end on another song, which is called Distant Sun. Yeah. So if people want to find out more about you, Mark, they can go to your website.
Yeah, which is rmdmusic.com.
Yep.
They can also, if they want to see the NLP site, it's called dear2.com.
Yep.
But
and you're on Twitter as well?
Yeah, Solo Giga.
That's a good one. You got a good name there, didn't you? It's a very good name. Very impressed with that. And you're hopefully maybe later on in the year going to get out and do some live stuff, do you think?
Do you know, I haven't done live work in a couple of years. And I'd like, I think if anything, because I've done more or less everything that I ever really thought I'd set out and do in music.
Yeah.
Maybe sort of like a little jazz trio, bass, drums, guitar, a little bit of blues, whatever, just for the sheer fun of it, right, really, rather than going out and touring or whatever, because that doesn't really grab me in any way, shape or form.
Because bands, as we know from being in bands, once you get more than maybe three or four people, it becomes, there's always something clashing, or it just becomes a bit of a, it can be a bit of a nightmare.
It can be, yeah. There are, they do have their moments. We will, I think we can both agree on that without any shadow of a doubt.
So just go out on your own, like I do. You go out on your own, you've got nobody to moan except for the audience.
That's not so bad. Yeah. I actually did that for a period of time once, and I actually hired a singer to actually sort of work with me, but they never turned up. I had a 3-hour gig. And I lost my voice about hour and a half in, and I could not sing a damn note.
No.
Luckily, I had loads of jam tracks. So that particular audience that night got treated to loads of blues jams, a few jazz covers.
Yep.
And then when I did get my voice back, which was about the last 15 minutes, I was able to rock it out. They never asked me back.
So,
I leave the solos to the professional singers.
It's been really lovely to see
you. Thank you very much. Cheers.
And we're going to finish on a song which is called Distant Sun. Tell us about this track.
Blues track. What it is... a lot of people, you've got a history of blues and stuff like that. Coming from the East End of London, about the only blues you can get is blowing bubbles. I wrote an album called Whose Blues Mine, and it was more or less based on personal blues incidents. And this is the one of the more publishable ones.
Lovely. Thank you very much to Mark. Michelle. And this is Distant Sun.
When the night comes down, the moon, it does rise. Clouds flicker across darkening skies. Night rolls on, hour after hour. The sight of the dawn brings a sun's power. Time has come. Distant sun. Daytime unfolds a glorious light.